so real, tell a friend. We trying to get right free of sin.
You are now listening to the words of truth.
Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone. And when life's feeling low,
you can always listen to the words of truth.
And so I want to look at, and I know we had a lot of scriptures last week, and I didn't get to but one or two. And but we talked about primarily that, and to live this holy life, we have to understand our conscience. And we have to understand that when your conscience is dealing with you or telling you something is wrong, then you have to submit to what your conscience is saying. But many of us are overriding our conscience. That when your conscience says something ain't right, you still do it. Amen, somebody. And some of us are still doing it because why? It has become a norm. People are doing it everywhere. And there were some things that we used to call wrong, we don't call wrong no more. But I want to tell all of you that we must understand, God has not changed. Tell somebody, God has not changed. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And what was sin back then is sin now. We still need to understand that sin exists. Nobody want to call nothing sin anymore. We say stuff like, well, this is just how I am. We say stuff like, well, this is the way I was born. We don't want to call anything sin. We want to now negotiate with wrong. But how many here today can still say wrong is just wrong? Just look at your neighbor and say, if you're wrong, you're just wrong. I mean, it don't mean we don't like you, you're just wrong. And we don't want to admit wrong. We want to make excuses, and we want to give reasons for wrong. And whenever you give reasons for wrong, you won't make the adjustments to get right. You'll just continue to do it wrong. Because sometimes we feel justified in our actions or our reactions. But your reactions can also be wrong. We're going to show you today in scripture concerning this holy living and how Paul says to us in Acts 23 and 1, we read that to you last week. He said, I have lived in all good conscience before God. And I got to ask you again, how is your conscience in reference to your walk with God? Are you good? Or are there still some things that you say, well, I need to work out? There's still some things in me that ain't quite right. And if you can answer today and say that there's still some things in my life that is not quite right, then my next question to you is, what is your response to it? Are you landed on the altar? Are you repenting from it? Or you just saying, well, I'm just going to go along with it because, you know, ain't nobody perfect. Everybody dealing with something. These are these nice things that we say to make excuses for us to keep doing what it is that we're doing. Amen, somebody. But how many know God is looking for holy living? He's required holy living. Now we understand what this holy living, and I think it's very important that we understand that the Bible tells us that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we shall be saved. Now I've talked to a lot of people, and one thing I'm finding out, Evangelist Darby, there's a lot of people. I ain't gonna say everybody. But a lot of people will tell you they save. Amen. Even when they are not producing the fruits of a Christian, but they'll tell you, you can't tell me I'm saved. I ain't saved. I am so saved. I love God. Because we think that being saved is just loving God. And we think that if I love God in my heart, then I'm saved. No. Now we understand that the process of being saved is to repent. Everybody say repent. You got to repent. You got to believe. You got to repent. You got to say, Lord, forgive me and for my sins. I accept you into my heart. I was born as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ was born. I believe that he lived. I believe he died. And I believe he was resurrected. And when you confess your sins to God, guess what? He forgives you. Tell somebody you're forgiven. But then after we receive salvation, then I want to tell you something that we used to talk about, but we don't talk about a lot in church anymore, but I got to talk about it today. Is that after you have accepted salvation, my brothers and sisters, then the next step after salvation is sanctification. You got to be sanctified. All right. So I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. I got a whole lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Somebody say sanctification. Sanctification is the next step after salvation. Because have you ever wondered that when people come get saved, what do you do next? You come before the church, they put the oil on you, they take you through the sinner's prayer, and then what's next? What's the next thing that I do? You know? Well, I mean, I'm saved now, but I really don't know what to do. And because a lot of people don't know what to do, you know what they typically do? They go back to doing what they were doing before. Because we don't talk about sanctification. And sanctification is the next part about salvation, after salvation. And what is sanctification? Sanctification is to be set apart. Everybody say set apart. Now, there's two things about being set apart. You are set apart from evil, but then you are set apart to be close to God. So it's not just staying away from something, but it's also drawing closer to something. So you stay away from evil, and while you're staying away from evil, you got to draw closer to God. And see, some people say, well, I'm just going to stay away from evil. But if you're trying to stay away from evil and not draw close to God, then guess what? You're not going to be able to stay away from evil. Because we all were born into sin, shaped into iniquity. Sin is in our nature. So guess what? You will not be able to stop sinning if you're not pursuing after God. Pursuing after God is what's needed to stay away from sin. Trying to be a good person is not going to make you stay away from sin. You got to pursue God. Tell your neighbor, you got to pursue God. This is why I wanted to try to explain this. This is why we got to understand why church is important. Church, and this is my best, Evangelist Darby, this is my best analogy I can give to it. It's my Evangelist Darby, my best analogy. Church is a big laundromat where we come to get washed. And when you decide that you don't need church, then you stay dirty. Did you learn? Like, was that one good? Tell somebody that was good. So when you decide to skip a Sunday, help me somebody, then you got to go all next week with dirty, stinking clothes on. Because church, coming to church, is going to the laundromat where we come to be washed. Washed from what? All that hell you went through last week. All the negative thoughts that you thought last week. All the almost cussed somebody last week. And so for some of us, the cuss we gave somebody last week. Tell somebody we're in the laundromat. And the blood of Jesus is the detergent. So you don't wear clothes for months without washing them? I hope you don't. I hope you're not. I hope you washing your clothes regularly. This is what coming to church is like. So for all of you to say you don't need church, oh, I'm gonna take a break this week, or you're once a month people, or every now and then, or you'll see them ease, that's Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. We call them the CME saints. They come Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. That's about it. I don't even know why they won't come on Father's Day, so I can put the F in there, but they won't do it. Just think about it. This is why we need to be washed. How many of y'all say, I need to be washed? I don't know about you, but I need to be washed every single week. This is why I come on Wednesdays, because I need to be washed twice a week. Come on now. I need to be washed twice a week. I just look, you can't do it. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. Now you see what he said in verse 1. He says, look, we got to cleanse ourselves. We got to be washed from the filthiness of the flesh. Let me tell you something. There is no good thing in your flesh. Your flesh is nasty. Your flesh like cussing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Your flesh like getting high. Y'all quiet. Your flesh like laying people out. Come on. There's a whole lot of, maybe I didn't call yours out, but there's a whole lot of stuff in the flesh. And when you accept Christ, your flesh don't. Your flesh didn't get saved. Your spirit did. Your soul got saved. Your flesh still over there jacked up. Okay? That's why when you got saved, you help me, brothers. When you got saved, you still like women. Because you thought being saved was going to make you stop like women. No, you still in the flesh. Hello? You got saved, sister, but he still look good. Come on. Because your flesh didn't get saved. Your spirit did. And a lot of times we are here, we're trying to fight the flesh. Talking about, I don't want to like women. I don't want to like, you're supposed to. Hello? I ain't trying to like men. You're supposed to. Come on, sister, you are here praying. Oh, here, tell me, Lord, help me to not like men. Quit praying that. You're supposed to. That's your flesh. And the only way you're going to control it is you got to be washed. And this is why you have to pursue God. Watch this. In order to come out of something, you have to be going somewhere. Some people just make the emphasis on, I'm coming out, praise the Lord, but where you going? Because if you don't know where you're going when you come out, you're going to turn around and go back to what you came out of. And this is what we do in our lives. Every day we keep coming out and going back into the same thing we're coming out because we haven't based any attention on where we're going. Look at somebody beside you and say, where you going? He says we got to be cleansed. Tell somebody you got to be cleansed. We have to, he says, watch this, verse 2. He said, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Now, I'm talking about sanctification, being set apart. A part of sanctification is you have to take an eternal evaluation. If you'd have left that mirror here, I was going to say, tell the person beside you, take a look in the mirror. You cannot move towards sanctification by pointing out everybody else's issue. You hear talking about, let me tell you what's wrong with Bishop. Let me tell you what's wrong with this one. Let me tell you what's wrong with that one. Let me tell you what this one's doing. No. If you're going to be sanctified, it starts out by you looking in the mirror, looking at you. Tell somebody to start with you. Okay. Go to Matthew. I think it's Matthew chapter 7. Okay. We're going to be moving. Matthew chapter 7. Yeah, that's what I want. Matthew 7. Okay. Can I preach this today? Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, he says, the way you judge somebody else is how people gonna judge you. So if you ain't happy with the way people are judging you, it's because
of the way you judge other folk. Okay, let me make it practical. You talk about everybody else's kids, but think yours is saints. Okay, I'm on the wrong side. Let me talk to somebody. So you over here saying what other kids, people's kids shouldn't be doing, but are not paying attention that y'all is cutting up terrible. Let's keep reading. And why behold, let the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye. In other words, here you is walking around with a mote in your eye. Come on, let me get that out your eye. You're trying to help somebody else get something out of their eye when something's in yours. How do you know that what you see in their eye is probably not there? You just see it because you don't see clearly. I'm in the word, right? Look at verse 4. Oh, how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that's in your eye. Let me get that mote out of your eye. And behold, a beam is in your own eye. So I need you to understand, to be sanctified, first of all, what he's saying here, you got to work on you. Tell somebody, you got to work on you. Wife, you trying to get the husband saved, work on you. That brother ain't going to come to Christ because if he looking at you, tell him, if that's Jesus, I don't want it. You trying to get your wife, amen, saved, and she looking at you like, I don't want none of that. Tell somebody, work on yourself. This the word. Sanctification means set apart, but it means for you to work on you, not your brother, not your sister. Because guess what? You're trying to help somebody else come up when you ain't strong enough. And when you ain't strong enough, they're going to pull you right back down. Amen. Are we in the word? Look what he says. Look at verse 5 says. He says, thou hypocrite. Look at that hypocrite. Hypocrite over here trying to help somebody else when they over here messed up. You're a hypocrite. You over here telling me what my problem is. You're here telling me drink. You're here telling me to stop drinking while you smoking. You're over here like, you need to stop that drinking. I'm in the word. He says, thou hypocrite. Look what he says do first. First, cast out the beam out of your own eye. First of all, get yourself right. Don't talk about nobody else. Get yourself right. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. You ain't got no right to put your mouth on nobody else. You ain't got no right to judge nobody else. You ain't got no right to criticize nobody else. Get yourself right first. He said, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye. He said, and then thou shalt see what? Then you can see clearly. See, some of y'all can't see clearly. You sitting beside a one-eyed person right now. Can I preach here today? And here's the thing with a one-eyed person, they only see things from their side. Y'all ain't saying nothing. They only see things from their view. They think they always right. They need to understand that the first thing they got to do is work on you. Somebody just throw your hands and say, Lord, I need to work on me. Instead of criticizing my neighbor, instead of talking about what my neighbor doing, instead of criticizing other people, the first person I need to work on, the first person that need to be sanctified is me. He said, put the beam out of the own eye. And then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see that? Tell somebody it starts with you first. It starts with the you first. You here tell me, let me tell you what your problem is. No, first of all, before you can tell me what my problem is, can you acknowledge what yours is? Whew.
Watch this. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast down your pearls before swines, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. In other words, he says, don't help nobody. He said, you can't help nobody that ain't trying to help themselves. Are you with me? So watch this. Go to St. John 17. St. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 17 and 17. Are we all right? We're talking about the process of sanctification. This is what you do after, for all of you that said, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and I am a Christian. Praise God. We thank God for you. But it just doesn't end right there. Now you have to go into sanctification. That means I gotta start working out this thing. I gotta start becoming sanctified. Now watch this. How do I do that? Look at St. John 17 and 17. Sanctify them through thy what? Truth. Thy word is truth. Now, let me tell you what this means. You cannot be sanctified by what you think is right. You don't set the parameters. You are sanctified by the word of truth. Well, there's only one thing I know that's to be the word of truth, and that's God's word. So what you do, help me, here's what you do. So when you want to become sanctified, you take his word, and his word becomes your reflection. So what his word say you can't do, you can't do it. And what his word say you do, that's what you do. Now, a lot of us do not want to put the word up against us, because there's a whole lot of stuff the word say we can't do that we like to do. The Bible says that we walk after the spirit and not after the flesh, because the flesh wars against the spirit. And there's a lot of things that the flesh likes that his word says, can't do that. Are we together? And if the word say we can't do it, then what is that I must do? Okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you tell somebody what I'm supposed to do. Because we went around here talking about we saved, but we ain't sanctified. I'm not asking, are you saved? But are you sanctified? Ask the person beside you, are you sanctified? Verse 18 says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them, meaning us, into the world. And for their sakes, this is what he said, I sanctify myself. It's Jesus. He said, I sanctify myself that they also may be what? Sanctified through truth. Now, we want to hear talking about we want to be like Jesus. Then if you're going to be like Jesus, it's going to require you to be sanctified. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't want to know if you're saved, but are you sanctified? Because you can be saved and not sanctified, but you can't be sanctified and not saved. And you want to tell me, I'm saved. Oh, that's the whole world saved. But are you sanctified? Are you set apart? And that's the problem that we're having in church. Nobody want to be sanctified, because sanctified requires me to be set apart. Sanctified requires that I can't do what the world do. The Bible talks about a sanctified wife will make a sanctified husband. Sanctified. That's the word. And the problem is you tell me, oh, I'm saved. Well, the person beside you saved. So what do you do with somebody they say they saved, but they still cussing? You dare not call them not saved. You ain't going to tell me I ain't saved. They'll cuss you and tell you. You ain't going to tell me I ain't. What are you going to do with somebody to say, I'm saved, but I'm still involved in premarital sex? Got it quiet right there. I'm still sleeping with somebody I'm not married to. What are you going to do with them? They saved, but the problem is they have not been sanctified. And the reason why they ain't sanctified, because they don't want truth. They want to deny that. They want to say, well, everybody living with, everybody doing something. Ain't nobody keeping themselves. That's what they tell you. So they try to justify it. Y'all ain't saying, y'all quiet. Y'all. They try to reject truth. Truth cannot be rejected. It must be received. And so here's the thing. God is not sending you to hell because you ain't saved. You're going to hell because you ain't sanctified. How do I know? He says there were some that came before him and said, we prophesied in your name. We did miracles in your name. He gonna say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You were saved, but you never got sanctified. You never ever would set yourself apart. This is good preaching right here. This is good preaching. Because what do we need the church to be? We need to become sanctified. How do we become sanctified? We come to sanctify it through truth. Look at somebody beside you and say, neighbor, can you handle the truth? Some folk can't handle the truth. Go to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 and 12. Okay? We're still talking about being sanctified. I got to give you these scriptures. Philippians 2 and 12. We're on good time. We're moving good. Moving good. Canals, moving good. Philippians 2 and 12. Are we good? Listen to what we talked about in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves. Tell somebody, you got to do something too. All right? Now, look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence. Watch this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Tell somebody, you got to work it out. He says, you got to do something. You just can't come up and tell me, well, because I remember when I first got saved. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. But I didn't know what to do next. I'm saved, so what do I do next? And back then, this is what they would tell you when you do next. They'd be like, they'll roll out this long slip of what you shouldn't do. Don't do this no more. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't. And all you saw was don't. And what I was working on was all the don'ts. But the don'ts were hard. Can I get a witness? I start looking at all these don'ts and I'm like, man, I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing that I like to do because all these don't wear this, don't act like this, don't go there, don't. I'm like, Jesus. But nobody was ever telling me what to do. Nobody ever told me, well, when you come out of something, you got to be going towards something. So they told me to come out of sin, but they never taught me how to pursue God. And when you don't have a whole heart of pursuing God, you'll turn back to what you left. Yeah. Guilty. Because all this, and so now when people talk about being saved, first thing that would come to my mind was, look, don't. Because it's all these don'ts. And you just be like, this is, but he says, no. He says, look, you got to work out your salvation. What is the working out? That's the period of sanctification. Being set apart. Of course, yeah, there are some things you can't do. You look at that and say, no, we can't do that no more. But then you start looking, but we got to pursue after God. So my question to you is not what you can't do, but how is your pursuit after God? Are you pursuing him? Or are you just casually seeing him every now and then? Are you and God married or just casually dating? Are y'all in a committed relationship? Okay, I hit the pause because I was going to say something I shouldn't have said. Are you all in a committed relationship? I got to find a better way to say it. Are you all in a committed relationship or you just call him when you need something? You just go through your black book and, oh, yeah. is he just a midnight call? I'm trying to be nice, y'all. I'm trying to be nice, okay? But use your imaginations. Because guess what? Some of us treat God just like he's just a call. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You just call him when you need satisfaction. But there's no relationship. Is that how you treat me? Is that what your pursuit is? Because I'm going to tell you now, God ain't going to just be, he just ain't going to be your midnight call. God is looking for committed relationships. He ain't looking for no casual dating. Hey, you've been dating somebody, it's been 10 years and we're dating. It's been 10 years. What are you dating? What you trying to figure out? or it's been 10 years. You tell me, we still trying to figure it out. You didn't figure it out. They ain't the one. You just been figuring out 9 years how to tell them. Okay. He says, you got to work out your own soul salvation. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are we together? 2 Corinthians 5:17. I know we're moving. We're moving on these scriptures. But I got to give you something for your notes because I know y'all like to study. Yeah. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is what? New means I'm new. You can't tell me I'm in Christ and still the same way you were. He's a new creature. What happens? Old things do what? They die. They gone. See sanctification? You see sanctification? Because the old things are doing what? They leaving. And behold what? All things what? Become new. Sanctification is you becoming a new person. And the only way you can become a new person, you got to get rid of some of the old stuff got to go. You can't tell me, that's just how I am. I've been like that all my life. Well, you've been wrong all your life. Hello. My God. Can I say this, Holy Ghost? If you let the old you die, you might get married. You might find somebody. You're still lonely because the old you ain't died. And God is protecting your future spouse. Because if they got you now, you'll mess them up. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. You'll mess them up. Dealing with the old you. So guess what? You ought to say, Lord, I want to become a new creature so you can bring my new spouse. You can bring the right one with me. Old things pass away. What happens? Behold, all things become new. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Are you hearing me? All right. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Praise God. I love this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay. We're still talking about the process of sanctification. Because what I got to do is I just don't want you to say I'm saved. I want you to say I'm sanctified. I'm sanctified. I ain't just say I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. I'm different. I'm new. Watch this. And the very God of peace did what? Sanctified you how? Holy. See what I'm talking about? You notice it didn't say he saved you? What did he do? You sanctified. Holy. And I pray to God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear that part? Read, I want you to see it. He says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be what? Kept. Kept how? Blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You mean God really want me to stay like this until he come? Yes. That's sanctification. Because I want you to understand, there's no finishing of sanctification. As long as there's breath in your body, you will always be pulling off and putting on. You never complete the sanctification process. But you shouldn't also be repeating the same things. Look at verse 24. Man, this is so good. Okay.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When you take that step of sanctification, and let me give you an example. I accepted the Lord in my life, and I says, "Okay, God, I'm saved." And now the sanctification process is, I got to stay away from things. I got to stay away. And this is ironic. This is crazy. I just thought about this. So in my BC days before Christ, I was out there running them streets. I was out there running them streets, Leon. I was on them streets. You know about me. You know I was out there on them streets. And it's crazy, Minister Darwin, that when I was at, I was probably at my roughest part in them streets. Uncle Roy, he at church today. Lord Jesus, I was with my friend over there, Poncho. Man, Poncho ran them streets pretty hard. I mean, we left our mark pretty deep out there in them streets. And I remember accepting Christ in my life. When I accepted Christ, got saved, I called him the same day. I called him. Remember that? I called you. I said, "I need you to come to my house." I was living, me and a girl was living together. Don't judge me. Okay, I won't save. And I said, "I need you to come to my house." I says, "And everything is ungodly." Now, I thought about it back then. I thought about it now. I should have did it different. But what I did was, I said, "Everything that's not of God, I need you to take it out of here." And he looked at me like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm giving my life to God." And he was like, "But, we into some, everything, I'm done." He's like, "Man, you trip." Yeah, I don't believe it. Now, I shouldn't have transferred my sins to somebody else, but I did. I should have just threw everything away, but I didn't. I took my sins and take my sins. And he's like, he gets stuff out my house. He's like, "Man," he says, "so do I call you tomorrow?" "Yeah, man, but I can't hang around." You know, but I said, me and you cool, but we can't hang together, cause we hang together. I know what you're doing, cause I used to do it. We were doing it together, and if I'm trying to come out of that, I can't still be hanging around with the person that's doing what I was doing and try to, no. I wasn't strong enough to say, "I'm going to go convert him." I wasn't strong enough. Because see, if I'd start hanging back out, you need to be saved. Okay, y'all don't want to be real. I can't preach real today to y'all. So there was a period of the sanctification. I had to block him. "Dude, you can't, no. Don't call me, man. Don't come up. How you doing?" We talk. He would call like, "What you doing?" And said, "Y'all, don't y'all, y'all ain't gonna laugh. See, my street name, you remember what my street name was? KC. Oh, that's just street name." He was like, "KC, I'm like, "Look, man, we cool. But I got, but you know why? You know what I was doing in the process of that? I was pursuing God. I wasn't just trying to stay away from what I used to do. I had a strong pursuit after God, because it was my pursuit after God was going to keep me from going back to those streets. Because them streets had a hold on me. Y'all don't know. Thank you, Jesus. It had a hold on me. Them clubs had a hold on me. Drinking and smoking had a, drugs had a hold on me. Yes, it did. Had a hold on me. And I'm not going to just stop it. So that's some of you. You're fighting to try to stop something, but there ain't no pursuit after God. You're going to lose that battle. Sin is powerful. And wrong is enjoyable. So I had to keep that pursuit after God intense. So I stayed praying. I stayed in church. I had to fight. And eventually, your spiritual man gets stronger.
And those urges don't hit you as often. And I'm pursuing after God, and I'm telling you the gospel truth. I'm pursuing after God, and that pursuit after God, I still hear women calling. I mean, they were calling. Talking about, I want to see you. No! Yes, no! Maybe a little while. No! Fighting! They knock on the door, and I look through the people and say, I can't let you in. No, I can't. I can't. I want you so bad, but I can't. I can't. But I just want to talk to you. No, you don't. Because I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. I don't. Oh, see, can I be real to some? Y'all looking at me strange, but I'm telling you right now, that's what it was like. No, I can't be around you. Because if I do, I'm going to have to go repent. Amen. So my pursuit, I had to be sanctified completely. You know what had to be sanctified? My whole spirit and my soul and my body. See, some of you only talking about my spirit sanctified. Is your body sanctified? Ask your neighbor, is your body sanctified? Because if your body's sanctified, you can't give it to nobody you ain't married to. They ain't liking this kind of preacher. I'm going to need y'all to help me, please, somebody. How you sanctified giving somebody? Okay, let me get back over here. Then he says, sanctify your soul, your spirit, and your body. Y'all. Your soul sanctified, but have you sanctified? Have you preserved yourself? Watch this. Man. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6. 6 and 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. Glory to God. Is this good? It's good to me. I'll tell you what. Maybe it's not good, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It's like medicine. It tastes terrible. But if you take it, it'll be good for you. 1 Corinthians 6 and 8. As such was some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are what? Sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of Christ. Washed, sanctified, justified. Washed, sanctified, justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus. You see what I'm saying? I guarantee you, if we really start preaching sanctification, watch this. Some folk will be guilty to shout. Some folk have heard of guitars and drums, and they'll jump up and say, oh, no, I just thought about what I'm going to do when I lay here. Let me sit back down. Ain't no need me. They'll jump up and be like, I just knew what I just did before I about sat down. You understand? Because sanctification is saying, I got to pull apart. Tell your neighbor, we got to pull away from that. God is expecting us to. God is expecting for you. Listen, single people, God is expecting you to say, you know what? No, we're going to have to wait till we get married. If they talking about, I'm leaving, bye. Because I don't want nobody that ain't sanctified no way. Oh, y'all hear me? This tough, ain't it? This tough. But it's the truth. And the truth shall set you free. People are still in bondage because they don't get truth. You just got to tell them, say, look, let me tell you, this is the truth. He's sitting over there. However, he came and got everything. I the girl I was staying with, I told her, I said, look, I'm going to leave and go back to my mama's house. What does this mean? We can't keep doing this. You can sleep in the back. Come on, you, me? Are you crazy? Who gonna sleep in the back? No, I'm gonna sleep in the back at my house. Grown. Yeah, how that's gonna work out? Nah. I was like, she said, so is we breaking up? Well, you know, yeah. because I'm pursuing God and you not. And if we stay together and I'm pursuing God and you ain't, we unequally yoked. In other words, watch this. You're going to give me a bigger headache than I already got. Have you ever been hooked up with somebody that's going a different direction than you got? So you're using your energy not to move forward, but your energy is used to restrict. Because they pulling against you and you pulling against them. And you tired and ain't going nowhere. So I was like, nah, we can't do this. Because I wanted to pursue God. I just didn't want to come out of sin. Watch this. I was not just trying to be a good person. Some people say, well, I ain't saved, but I'm a good person. That don't cut it. That's not, you don't, good people don't become sanctified. Are you still with me? He says you got to be washed, but you are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord. Next verse. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now, I like that. He says, now, I have the authority and the ability to do whatever I want. You know how young people, they'll tell you how grown they are. I'm grown. You know, especially those kids when they get 18. You can't tell me what to do. I'm grown. It's crazy how they do that, still eating your food. But anyway. But like, you're going to be grown and hungry in a few minutes. You're going to be grown and homeless. And just, you keep talking like that. we're going to see. Yeah. All things are lawful to me. In other words, I have the authority and the ability. I'm old enough. He says, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, he says, look, just because you've grown to do it don't mean that it's approved by God. Now, ain't nobody going to come knock your door down and take you to jail because you're living with somebody you ain't married to. They ain't going to do that. Even though, I got to put this in here, even though in the state of Virginia, it's against the law. It is. They just don't lock you up for it. Okay, side note. It's against the law. But ain't nobody going to do that, especially if you're grown. But just because you're grown don't mean that God is pleased with it. So there are some things, watch this. And then the other part is this. There are some things that you're going to like to do that's not right. Now, let me tell you. I love wine and dining, First Lady. I love it. And someone asked me one time, they says, if there was anything you could do as a Christian and as a pastor, what would it be? I can answer that question quick. I was ghost. Y'all gonna judge me. I know you is. But remember I said judge not to be not judged. Evangelist Darvin, if I could do this and as a preacher and a bishop, I would do it tomorrow. I would go to the club. I love dancing. I would go to the club. Let me tell y'all something. I would sardines and pork and beans. I would, the roof is on fire. We don't need no, y'all ain't saying nothing. We would water dance like, oh, what you? Do you hear me? Percolating and all. I mean, getting it. Robot and everything. I mean, Jack. Woo! I could stay there all, man, hours. I mean, we could do it for hours, okay. Hours. I mean, I would go to the club. That was my thing. That was my thing. I loved it. I'm going to tell you right now. I partied from the time I got out of the car. When they was head to one, checking me, doing this, I was loved it, yes. I walked in the club. Ain't nobody got to be on the floor. I'm going. Amen. Right? I'm going straight to the floor. I ain't got to have nobody. I loved it. Loved it. And if they told me, they said, what is one thing you could do right now as a bishop and a preacher, I would go to the club. Now watch this. Is dancing a sin? No. Listen to secular music, is it a sin? No, not if it's wholesome. You know, Because there's still some gospel music I think is just evil. It's just, I mean, just, I know, y'all know I can gave y'all some of them songs. Like, I'm coming up. No, I ain't coming up on the roadside of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in. That's just so sad. That's just so sad. You hear something? I'm coming up on the rough side. You already said it. I mean, just forget all your blessings. Because you just committed that you coming up on the rough side. I mean, it's a spiritual song, but that's just sad. Amen. So these things are not sin. But even though it's lawful for me and it's not necessarily a sin, but it wouldn't be good for me to go to a club. Let me tell you why. Now, I know some of you are saying, yeah, because you're a bishop. No, well, that's true. You know? But I understand what the atmosphere will provoke me. Y'all ain't saying that. See, I understand, you know, they get in there and we jumping and we percolating and we move. Woo! It's going to get hot. It's getting hot in here. Yeah. And then, y'all looking at me hard. You know, then I'm going to get thirsty. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, you're going to get thirsty. And then you're going to hear the DJ say, last call. And now because I've opened myself up to this, now some of my other demons coming back on me. Now I'm thirsty. Now I'm going to want a Heineken. Y'all ain't saying nothing. To quench my thirst. And you know that Heineken is just like Lay's potato chips. You can't just have one. I'm preaching my face off today. Y'all ain't saying that. So you done drunk your couple, and y'all know, y'all ain't been saved all your life. Now you buzzing. Yo-hoo. Now that buzzing kicked in. Woo-hoo. Now that brown liquor sitting there. Y'all ain't saying nothing. That Crown Royal, that Hennessy. Oh, my good. Y'all hear me? And now you know that you always got somebody sitting beside you talking about, just take you a sip. Jesus turned water into wine. Just take you a shot. It ain't gonna hurt you. So you, and that Crown Royal, that Hennessy hit the back of your throat. Y'all too much. And it stings at the back of your throat. Y'all ain't saying nothing. As it goes down your chest, hello, somebody. All of a sudden, all that other stuff you used to do now jumping back on you. And you wake up in a mess. And where did it all start from? Me doing something that wasn't harmful. It wasn't unlawful. But it wasn't good for me. First lady tonight, I'm closing. Because y'all think y'all get the point. We started talking and she said, we going out. I can't. Let's go out to eat. We can go to McDonald's. She said, you gonna ride over here to see me? Let me see, can I find somebody to come with me? Why somebody got to come with you? Because if nobody come with me. Was it a sin me to go see her? No. Now, was sin going to happen after I go see her? Probably so. Are y'all seeing my point? Somebody says, Well, you know, we if there was such a thing, we, you know, I tell people, I was telling a couple, we're getting ready to do their wedding. I says, we, you know, we dated 6 months. If we really dated 6 months, we're married. Yeah, we might have been 4 months, and we're married. They said, well, why you rush? I ain't want to sing it. Let me tell you, honest truth, when I went down on one knee and asked the mermaid, Sister Jean, I went down on one knee and I says, would you be my wife? And she says, yeah, I'll marry you. Oh, it was such a beautiful moment. And she says, yes, I'll be your wife. And she said, when you want to get married? I said, now. She said, what? I said, right now. I mean, this minute. She said, I said, I'm the preacher. I do both parts. I mean, come on. I'll be over there. Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? I do. I said, yeah, we can do it now. We didn't. And she's like, no, you know, we can't do it now. I got to get my sister. We're gonna do a wedding. I'm like, come on, man. We ain't got to do no wedding. Let's get married. That was flesh talking. The worst day of the wedding, we got married. We hit the horse and buggy going back down the road. And then we going back to our house. We riding the horse and buggy. We sitting in the back of the carriage. I'm like, I love you, girl. She said, I love you too. I was like, yeah, we on the way to the house. Bro James, I got to the house and all these people was there. I get out the horse and buggy. I'm like, where they leave? What's what all these folk doing? She said, don't worry, we gonna leave. I'm like, let's go now. I don't want to greet nobody. Let's skip the reception. I don't need no cake. We ain't got to do none of that. Let's go. They'll be all right. Let them have the reception for the people anyway. I'm like, let's get out of here. And see, I know what's coming on is because when you're pursuing after God, you don't want to be wrong. Are you hearing me? You don't want to be wrong. You want to do the things that please God. I got one scripture and then I'm done. Was this good? One more scripture. Y'all enjoy this? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to go to Hebrews 12 and 1. Hebrews 12 and 1. Because here is when someone says, well, what do I need to do to get this sanctification? Hebrews 12 and 1 is where I want you to go. And this is where I want you to walk out here with. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. Now I want to pause right here. Because wherever you are, there are angels watching. And those angels that are watching you are your witnesses to your behavior. So you can't lie. And tell, you might lie to me, but you can't lie to God. Because the angels are witnesses of what you're doing. He said, wherefore seeing we're also compassed about what's a so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's how you get to sanctification, my brothers and sisters. It's that you got to lay aside the things that you know are not of God. If you don't try to rationalize with it, just say, this ain't right. How you know it ain't right? The word said it ain't right. And if the word said it ain't right, then I have to come into alignment and submit myself to his word. That is the process of being sanctified. So it's not just about being saved. It's about sanctification. Because God is coming back for a sanctified church. There's a whole lot of saved folk gonna be left because they stopped at being saved, and they quit working on being set apart. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today that has went forth to your people. I pray that these words will rest on the hearts of every person here, that as we go down through this week, we think about this pursuit after you. This, you said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. We want to please you. We don't want to just praise you and not please you, because you are not pleased with our praise if our life is not in order. And so, Father, we pray that as we begin to lay aside every weight and every sin, let us not focus on our neighbor, but focus on ourselves and say, what are the things I need to do to please God? Father, we pray that you wash all of us that are sitting in this place. Wash us with your blood. Forgive us of our sins. But as we leave this place, God, we leave pursuing you and pursuing you with everything that's in us. You said in your word, serve the Lord God with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. We serve you with everything that we got as we pursue after you. And we answer the call today for a holy life. You said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Father, we don't want to miss heaven. Father, we thank you for grace that is extended to us every day. Call your people in, God. As you call us in, pull us up closer and closer to you, closer to your will, closer to your way. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. If you believe that right now, come on and give God praise. Amen.
Hold on, you were tuned in. The word is so real, tell a friend. We trying to get right free of sin. You are now listening to the words of truth. Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone. And when life's in low, you can always listen to the words of truth.